chapter number 4. Amen. The Song of Solomon in chapter number 4. It seemed like we've been in chapter 4 for almost an eternity, doesn't it? But you know it's all the Word of God.
Amen.
And I think Brother Gene Mathias on Wednesday nights has been preaching through Psalm 119 now for something like 5 or 6 years. On Wednesday nights in one psalm. You know, a lot of the old timers, when they would preach, so many of them would take a book in the Bible, and they'd spend years expounding that one book. And there's really not anything wrong with that. I tell you, you can gain some real knowledge from it, get a hold of something out of it. You're going to find Jesus in all of it, and that's what we're looking for, is the Lord Jesus. That's right. Am I a little too loud to you out there? Does it seem too loud? I'm all right. Okay. Song of Solomon in chapter number 4. And I'm squealing just a little now, Brother Doug. And I hope we can get some of these folks in here squealing. That's right. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you just right. You might squeal. Amen. That's right. He can do some strange things to people. And somebody said, you sound like a charismatic. No, I'm just a Bible believer. The Bible believer. I heard we got some folks coming to the church, and I heard this morning that some of them, I don't remember who it was, met somebody over in a Walmart or grocery store or somewhere, and they made the statement, said, so-and-so said, man, said, he's dressing different, got a haircut, and said, he looks like he's going to church. And somebody said, well, he is. Said he's going over at Island Ford Baptist in Madisonville. And the guy said, over at Hall's? And, you know, God is sometimes shows up over at Hall's like he does someplace else. Well, thank God for it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I'll take all, if God will save him, I'll take every ponytail wearer in the country. I'd like to see him save a choir full of harlots and set them in the choir to sing. That's right. God saves sinners, bad people. Now, don't you jump up or jump out in the aisle and tell me how good you was when God saved you. You'll make a fool out of yourself right quick. A bigger fool than they making out of themselves in Florida. Guarantee you on that, friend. That's right. Well, you're probably getting tired of standing. I better read. I may preach for a read. Solomon said, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like a tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard, of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the morning hour. Thank You for the good singing that we've been able to enjoy, the good Sunday school hour, the instruction there. Thank You for Thy Word that You've given as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank You, Lord, for sending visitors our way this day. Now, that's my prayer that You'd quicken Thy Word to our hearts, make it alive this morning. And Lord, may the Spirit of the living God come today to glorify the Lord Jesus, to magnify You in our midst. Lord, may You provide liberty to worship God and to adore You, as we said in the song this morning. Come and let us adore You today. I pray, Lord, that You'll meet every need of every heart, save some that are lost and without God. And Lord, touch those this morning that are discouraged and mend the broken hearts. I ask You, Lord, to come in great power to send revival to the church of the living God. Keep Your hand upon the preacher. I need Your help. Without it, Lord, I'll have absolutely nothing to say that would be a blessing to Thy people. So I pray that You'll bless me that I might be a blessing. I ask You to fill me with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost, and with power. Help me this morning to say something, Lord, that'll turn the hearts and the minds of Your people to Christ. And may our lives be stayed upon Thee. Give us grace this hour, forgiveness of sin. Deal in our hearts as dear children of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now we're taking verses 13 and 14 this morning for our text where Solomon says there, Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Now I want to take that thought for just a little while this morning and preach to you on the thought, fruitful children. As a child of God, God's people are to be fruitful. Amen. We are to bear fruit that will give glory and honor unto the Lord. In fact, in the upper room, or on the way to the garden, one or the other, our Lord was giving His disciples exhortation. And there He told them about the Lord, about the Father, being the husbandman, and how He pruned His garden. And in doing so, He said that we would bring forth fruit unto the Lord. And if we abide in God's Word, we'll bring forth more fruit. Amen. And if His Word abides in us, then the Bible said that we'll bring forth much fruit. And He goes on to say about His disciples, He said, I've chosen you and sent you forth your fruit should remain. And you know, as a child of God, God wants you and I to be fruitful. As His child, He wants us to be as a garden that is enclosed. He wants us to be plants that bring forth as an orchard of pomegranates. God wants us to be pleasant fruits such as camphor and saffron to the glory and the honor of God. You know, if God's Word abides in us and we remain faithful to God, He'll make us that we are never barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Brother Steve teaching this morning on the Word of God in Sunday school. And I tell you that you cannot bring forth fruit unto God, my friend, without abiding in that book. I'm afraid that we're short-handed today and weak today and frail today and for the most part barren today because we have neglected the Word of God. Oh, we ought to hide it in our heart that we'll not sin against God. If it's the Word of God, and it is, that we have been born into God's family by, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That means that God's Word is living in you, God's Word is abiding in you, and it's God's Word that will bring forth that fruit in you to make you a fruitful child of Almighty God. Now, God, help us today, my friend, to be fruitful children for the glory and honor of Almighty God. Now, in verse number 12, our Lord there likens His church to a garden. He says it is a garden enclosed, and His garden, according to that verse, is well watered from within by a spring and by a fountain. Now, as a rule in the Bible, a still water is a type of the Word of God, such as Psalm 23, where He said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. But a flowing water, such as Joshua, and in chapter number 5 and verse 15, a flowing water is a type of the Holy Ghost, talking about the waters of Jordan as they flow down and overflow their banks all the time in the harvest. And I really believe that we are being watered from within by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. I want to say, church, I hate to get ahead of myself, but I might do that. I may have to get ahead of myself. Amen. I'm thinking faster than I can preach. But here that fountain and that spring that is shut up may very well be a type of the Holy Ghost that and the Word of God that is working within the heart of every Christian to bring forth fruit unto Him. I want to say to you, my friend, that it's not a matter of you might be fruitful for God. If you're God's child, you cannot help but to be otherwise, because these graces that Solomon is writing about is not graces of your own. Brother, they're not something that you can produce on your own. They are being produced in us by the power of the Spirit of God. I talked to Brother Doug Thompson's daddy over at Central City the other night, and Mr. Thompson said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't want to make a commitment to God yet." I said, "Sir, may I ask why you wouldn't want to commit your life tonight to the Lord Jesus?" He said, "To be honest," he said, "I couldn't live up to that commitment." He said, "I don't have it within me to be a Christian." I said, "Sir, you're absolutely right, but I'm here to tell you, when you're born again from above and the Holy Ghost of God settles down in your heart, it's not a matter of what you can do. It's a matter of what He's already done. And friend, as long as the Spirit of God lives in the bosom of a child of God, he will be fruitful for the glory of God. And it's not the man that's doing the work, but hallelujah to God, it's the Holy Ghost that's working on the inside. I'm glad I've got a keeper in my soul today that's approving me and purging me, and I might bring forth fruit unto the glory and the honor of Almighty God. Now hear me well. It's not your fruit, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. Those pomegranates and camphor and spikenard, I'm not going into all those to tell you what all they mean. But some of them is bitter and some of them is sweet. I read where one fellow said, "Well, I believe they represent, the bitter and the sweet life that goes along with the child of God." I don't know about all that. I believe that they kind of represent, and now that's part of it, but I believe that the sweet will always represent the Spirit of God that lives within us. But I'm telling you, I believe the bitter, my friend, may very well represent that old flesh that we're toting around with us every day. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, that whether it's bitter or whether it's sweet, even in this body of clay that we're living in, that God Almighty has the power, my friend, to cause us to bring forth fruit in our spiritual man. For greater is He that lives in you than he that lives in the world. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that my life may be filled up with some bitter experiences. But hallelujah to God through them all. The sweet Holy Ghost has been there, a purging and a pruning to bring forth fruit in my life. For the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Now somebody said, preacher, where do you get here? And by the way, when I'm talking about bringing forth fruit in a child of God, I'm not talking about a barren fig tree, friend. I'm not talking about those that have lamps but have no oil in their lamps. And I'm not talking about those that say I'm alive but they're dead. And I'm not talking about those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of barren trees that's trying to bring forth some figs, friend. There's a whole lot of lamps trying to burn that don't have an ounce of oil in them. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that all the energy, my friend, that you can muster up in the power and the energy of your old man cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit that God this morning would have you and I to bear for the glory and honor of God. I'm going to say there's a lot of lost people that are trying to live for God and be fruitful and bring about the fruit of the Spirit in their life. But they can't do it. And the reason they can't do it, there ain't nobody at home on the inside of working on them. That's why they're carnal-minded. That's why they're sensual. That's why they are worldly-minded, my friend, is because there is no heavenly guest living in an earthly tabernacle to bring forth a heavenly fruit that will please an Almighty God. Amen to God. Too many lost people trying to live for Him. It's like I told Mr. Thompson, sir, you can't live it. A lot of people trying to force live it. By the way, preaching to somebody like that, trying to force feed a sick man. Or force feed a baby. Or force feed somebody that's already full. I'm telling you, you cannot cram spiritual food down a carnal heart. It will not receive it, my friend. It'll burp it back up before it ever finds a place in the belly spiritually to bring forth spiritual energy in the life of that man or woman. You can't live it on your own, friend. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost, like a fountain, sealed in a spring, shut up. Huh? Now listen to me carefully. Verse 12, he said he's a garden enclosed. But he's enclosed with a fountain, and he's enclosed with a spring. In other words, that garden is well watered. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. The water makes a difference. Oh, you hear that? Water will make a difference. I've told you this story. Let me tell it again. Years ago, pastoring in Tucson, Arizona, Sunshield Baptist Church, Brother Herb McFerrin and I was driving up the back roads going to Tempe, Arizona to a revival one evening. And we went through some farmland that belonged to the University of Arizona. It was a vineyard. On one side, the vineyard, on one side, the highway, one on the other side. I'm talking about being separated by a 25-foot roadway. And on the one side, it was just barren. That vineyard was dry, just barren. Had no leaves, had no grapes, had absolutely nothing on those vines. They were barren. Oh, they were grapevines, all right. But they didn't have an ounce of fruit or no signs of life whatsoever on them. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, on the other side of that road, highway, whatever you want to call it, that vineyard, my friend, was as green as anything. Oh, it had leaves on it, and those leaves were green and hanging off with some big, the prettiest purple grapes that I ever seen in my life. I said, Brother Herb, I said, look at the difference
in these two vineyards. He said, "Preacher, you're forgetting that you're living in a desert. Not here in the desert, unless you keep something watered, it's going to die." I said, "Hallelujah to God. It's the water that makes a difference." I'm here to tell you, my friend, that is a child of God. We are a garden enclosed. We're a spring shut up. And we're a fountain sealed. And honey, it's the water of the Word of God. And it's the water of the Holy Ghost that makes a difference in the life of a child of God. You'll be green. According to Psalm 1, you'll be green. You'll bring forth fruit in your season. And your leaf shall not wither. That's right. Always be a little bit there. Fruitful. Being a child of God. And bringing forth fruit. Now, I don't want nobody to leave me this morning. Somebody said, "Preacher, what kind of fruit are you talking about?" I'm talking, my friend, about the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now look here, I've heard all my life that John 15, the fruit, the much fruit, or more fruit and much fruit, is talking about winning souls for Christ. That is an absolute, blatant, I'll be kind, misinterpretation of the Bible. Huh? That would put competition. God wouldn't have us in competition. But I'm going to tell you that Word of God abiding in you, friend, in John 15, that fruit and that more fruit and that much fruit is talking about Christian experience and Christian growth, whereby a child of God, as he yields himself to the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God working in him will overcome this old body of clay that we're living in, and that man will grow in grace and knowledge and bring forth fruit unto God Almighty. You know, a lot of people can't distinguish between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Now Paul records that, and I'm going to read it. You don't need to turn there. But in Galatians chapter 5, Paul records them both. And he talks about the works of the flesh. Do you know the flesh has to energize itself to produce sin? The works of the flesh. Hey, look here. In contrast to the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, my fruit on a tree or a vine of any kind, comes on because of the work and the labor of the vine or the roots of the tree and not of its own will. And I'm here to tell you, your man's flesh, son, will have to work. It'll have to labor and toil. That's why Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm telling you, my friend, your flesh wearies itself and works and labors that it might bring forth sin in the world. I said, "Preacher, I don't agree with that." You can be wrong if you want to be. And you are. Listen to what Brother Paul said. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now listen to this. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Which are these? They're manifest. They're brought to light, friend. "And they begin, oh my, with adultery and fornication." You know why a whoremonger is a whoremonger? That's just a manifestation of what he is. Why men commit adultery and why men fornicate. Why they can't marry and have an honorable life and settle down with one man and one woman is because their flesh is unleashed and their flesh is sinful and ungodly. And if the Holy Ghost is not living within that tabernacle to curb the desires and the lusts of the flesh, it'll be let loose and ultimately will destroy that man or that woman. Now notice what he says. "The works of the flesh are manifest." Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Like that boy, Benny said he picked up hitchhiking, said he was a wicker. I never heard of a wicker. Wickers are probably wicked. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. You wonder why I'm against booze? I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're looking at a man that knows what alcohol can do in a family. Son, I have watched it drag strong men to their grave and watch them die as weaklings, my friend, because they could not. They could not curb their desires and their appetite for a bottle of liquor or a can of beer or another shot of dope or another night on the town or another little dance hall. I hate liquor. I've seen drunked up men slap and beat their wives around, cuss their children, spend all their money, come home drunk, puke in a commode, crawl back out of the bathroom, beg their wife to forgive them, honey, I'll never do it again. And that's on Sunday morning. The next Friday night, they are back out of honky-tonk and drinking the same old liquor, running with the same old crowd. Come to church on Sunday mornings, act like they hunky-dory and everything all right between them and God. I'm telling you, my friend, they're lost and going to hell. I want to say this right here, and a preacher to get up and preach the fact that a man can drink four jiggers of wine, my friend, and be a child of God. He's crazier than a lunatic, lost and without God, on his way to hell. For wide as a mocker, strong, raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Man, then they imply that Christ's disciples were no more than a common drunk, sleeping because they was drunk on four cups of red wine. Boy, better read his Bible, son. Sleep because they was drunk. I'm going to tell you what it made me do when I drank it. I don't know about you. It made me want another little shot. It's like hell, son. It enlarged itself. Can't get enough. This old flesh can't get enough of that wonderful stuff that man has created and brought into the world and called liquor and strong drink. I'm telling you, it's manifest through the flesh. It's manifest through drunkenness and adultery and fornication and all that stuff. And the such like. Now I want you to hear what Brother Paul said. Amen. Buddy, but he said, in the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Right. Friend, ain't no adulterer going to heaven. Right. Ain't no fornicator going to heaven. Ain't no drug going to heaven. All liars have their part in the lake of fire. You listen to me, I'm talking about envies and strife. What are you going to do about hatred? It's in there. What are you going to do about envy? It's in there. What are you going to do about strife? It is in there, my friend. He said, a man that does these things or a woman that does these things. Paul said, I told you once, but I'm going to tell you for the second time. Get her lined out. Get her in your heart that somebody that commits these things, they're in the flesh. They do not have the Spirit of God. And they are not the family of God, the child of God. And they're lost and going to hell. Rather than bringing forth fruit. They're bringing forth the lust of the flesh in their life. Now somebody said, preacher, where do you get a child of God? I'm glad somebody asked that. He's talking about the church, and he says, you're a garden enclosed. You're a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And then he said, thy plants. Thy plants. You know, you run that word plant down, you go to Psalm 123, I believe it is. David talks about children, our children, being like plants round about our table. Now, I'm going to tell you, if God called our little children, considered them as plants, if He likened them to plants, then I'm satisfied that these plants that He's referring to are children of God in the house of God. Amen. Children of God. Oh, and those children. My Bible goes on to say that those children, my friend, that they're plants, they're an orchard of pomegranates and all pleasant fruits and camphor and spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon and all of those pleasant fruits. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm getting ready to show. I'm getting ready to get to something. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit of God is like a rich garden. Oh, yes. In those plants down at the house of God, those children. And by the way, and I'll throw this out to some of you, and if you can get a hair lift on it, get it. But a plant is not something that grew up by itself. It was intentionally planted there. Thank you and amen. When I go out to set tomato plants in a garden, I don't grab a handful of them, throw them out on the ground and say, grow. I planted. You'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Don't nobody leave me now. Huh? We're plants. God refers to us as plants in the household of God. We're plants. And we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. I don't have time to go into all the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to. Now the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not fruits. It's fruit. And there's nine graces in the fruit. Love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Huh? And it's not fruits, it's fruit. Not signifying nine different fruits, but one fruit. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying in every child of God there will be a certain measure of each one of those. A certain amount of love, a certain amount of joy, a certain amount of peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That'll be found in every child of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I love you, but don't tell me you are if you can't, if you ain't got none of that. See, there's a certain fragrance to that garden. There's a certain flavor to it. The Holy Ghost in a person will put out a little flavor. Put out a little fragrance, a little odor, a little smell. Now, I'm here to tell you there's going to be a little of it. And look here, I'm only going to get the first three. I'm hung up on it. Love, joy, and peace. And by the way, I don't have time to go into this, but on the nine fruits there, and I don't have time to get into it, but we're looking at these from the Lord's point of view, from heaven back. We're looking at peace from Him comes first. He gives us peace, then joy. And then love begins to cultivate. He cultivates our hearts and love begins to grow. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That is love, but the greatest of these is charity. And you ain't about, my friend, to manifest the greatest virtue and you manifest some of the lesser virtues. Are you listening to me? The fruit of the Spirit. Now I won't mention these, the three things, and we're done. Now I'm going to tell you, they will be manifest in every Christian. No ifs, ands, buts about it, buddy. Remember I said they're not my work and your work. They're the work that the Spirit of God is accomplishing within your heart.
Amen.
Huh? Now the first one I want to mention is not just joy, but overwhelming joy.
Amen.
I'm talking about real joy. I'm talking about overflowing joy, friend.
Amen.
You looking at one happy Baptist preacher. Hallelujah to God. How can I be anything but happy? I was lost. I was dead in sin. I was on the broad way that had led to destruction, my friend. I was absent. I had no spiritual grace about me at all. I couldn't communicate to God. Couldn't get to God. I was destined for hell. I had on my way to hell and without God and without any hope. I was morose. I was full of animosity and hatred. And my life had no joy and happiness. No meaning whatsoever. But oh, my friend, on that wonderful Sunday morning, January the 13th, 1970, buddy, five rows back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows back, son. The Holy Ghost of God came to where old Brother Hall was and brought me out of sin into life. And son, gave me a joy in my heart that I never had before. How can a saved man not have joy? Ain't that right? Now I'm going to show you something about a little joy this morning. Somebody said, "Preacher, what or why do you have joy?" I've got three things written down. I have got overwhelming joy, number one, because of the Lord's example.
Amen.
Oh, this crowd run around WWJD. What would Jesus do? I can tell you one thing He'd do this morning.
Amen.
He'd shout it out.
Amen.
Somebody said, "You're a nut. Screwed on to the right boat." Some of y'all live, my friend. Some of y'all live. And in your daily conversation, son, I'm honest. I can't get away from it. I don't understand folk. Yeah, some of you act like coming to church is a chore, is a job. You act like some of you act like you'd rather be somewhere else than here. Buddy, that tells me something about what's living down in your heart. A man that don't have anything to smile about, I wonder if whether he's got anything worth living for. Amen. God, help us. I said overwhelming joy. Son, I've been overwhelmed by the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Buddy, I can't help myself but to be happy because the Holy Ghost is a glorified Christ in my life. Son, how can I when the Holy Ghost points me to Jesus and say, there's the lover of your soul.
Amen.
There's He that was alive and is dead and always alive forevermore. Amen. There's your sin bearer. There's your substitute.
Amen.
There's your light.
Amen.
There's your pardon. There's your happiness. There's your joy. There's your salvation.
Amen.
And because He lives, you're going to live with Him. Why would I want to drag around? Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. He's given me an example. Listen to this and see if you catch it. Listen to it. Luke 10, verses 19 through 21. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Give them all the power over all the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What can hurt you this morning? Nothing by any means, Jesus said. There's not one thing in heaven or earth, nor beneath the earth, that can hurt you this morning. That's what the book said. I'm reading from the book. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. This bunch of charismatics and Pentecostals wanting to cast out demons and all. Give Jesus a hand. Somebody clap for Jesus. I'm going to tell you what Jesus out of His own mouth said. Just because those spirits are subject unto you, don't rejoice over that. I'm going to tell you why to rejoice. Jesus said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Son, my name is recorded, dear friend, in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Oh yeah, and that's the opposite of death. Praise God. I passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. You can't get in that book without having your sins forgiven. You can't get your sins forgiven without having pardon. You can't have pardon without being forgiven. And how in God's name can a man be forgiven without being happy? Look at old... Look at old Shelby smiling back there, boys.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Rejoice. But now, wait a minute. I said because of Jesus' example. You know what the very next verse says? Verse number 21 there in the very first part of it. In that hour. Because of that reason. The Bible said Jesus rejoiced. In spirit. Oh, somebody said, preacher, that's what I do. I just rejoice in spirit. No, you know how to read the next two words. And said.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, when the spirit gets right,
amen.
When you get full, son, it's bound to come out of you somewhere.
Yes.
I've seen it come out of some folks' eyes. I ain't never seen any come out their ears yet. I've seen it come out of the eyes. out of their mouth. I believe it or not, I've seen it come out the nose. Oh, yeah, son, she'll come out. And all the time it's like this. Oh, God, I'm, hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, and the Bible said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Now, come on now. WWJD, he would be shouting her out. Why ain't you doing that? Overwhelming joy. Because of the example of the Lord's example. Now, I've got to try to hurry. I won't keep these young kids in here all day. They visitors, they'll think I'm some kind of a nut for sure. But I want to say, hey, I've got overwhelming joy, not only, friend, because of the Lord's example, but because of my expectation. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you expecting? Is it just a, like they used to say on the boob tube, just a, oh, get away from the whole humdrum and get a bucket of chicken? In other words, get away from the ordinary. Quit eating the burgers and get some Kentucky Fried. Hey. Do you just, is that the old whole humdrum, everyday routine, nothing ever changes, nothing ever stirs yourself? It's because you don't expect a thing from God in your life. Son, when God saved you, somebody said, I ain't growing very fast. I'm not a mature. When God saved you, that Holy Ghost took up residence in there as a spring shut up and a fountain sealed, son. He began to water your garden, and whether you know it or not, you're growing. Oh, Steve Vincent told me, he said, preacher, he said, I just don't seem like I'm doing much, and it don't seem like I'm growing much. Seem like I'm going to tell you what, I've noticed a big change this morning. From, huh? Come on, somebody, other people can see it. What do you expect? Now look here, and you don't have, you can turn there if you want to, but in Isaiah 35, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Amen. Isaiah is talking about the regathering of Israel. Amen. He's talking about the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Amen. And he said in verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Amen. Let me ask you something this morning. What was your heart? What was your soul? What was your life before Christ saved you? I'm going to tell you what it was. You don't even have to answer me. It was a desert. Amen. It was barren. Amen. But oh, with the water of the Holy Ghost, son, Amen. That desert place began to blossom and to begin to bloom and blossom like a rose. That water in a desert place. Oh, God's got that power by the Holy Ghost. Do you have an expectation that He can make the desert place of your soul a fertile, rich land that will bring forth a garden that's enclosed for His glory and honor? Amen. But yeah, I do. He can take nothing. That's what most do. You can buy desert land out in Arizona, most places. You can buy some of it out there for a song and a dance, buddy. And they'll just about sing and dance for you. Nothing will grow there. The desert. That's what you were, dead and dry, like a valley of dry bones. God poured a little bit of water on that thing, and lo and behold, something began to grow. Oh, I just got a hold of something. Holy Ghost of God poured the flowing water on the Word, and the Word began to grow. Glory! Let's go on and read it. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Wait a minute. It shall blossom and abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Have you been joining and doing any singing this morning? Come on now. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, a word that is spoken in the book of Hebrews. Come on now, don't y'all leave me now. He said, strengthen yourself, the weak and the feeble knees. Strengthen them. How are you going to strengthen them? I'm going to tell you how some of you can get some strength this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Buddy, some of you are withering away and you're doing it because there's absolutely no joy from God in your life, and there's no joy because you don't expect God to do anything for you.
He done anything for you, Brother Wayne? Pouring a little water on there, ain't he?
Yes, I like
it. Amen!
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he'll pour water on you this morning.
Yes, amen.
Verse 4, say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Was you a dumb man? Somebody said, not me, I never was. You was if you was lost, friend. God opened your ears by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Ghost of God hadn't opened your ears, friend, and allowed you to hear, you would still be dead, deaf, and dumb. Better believe that's right. Yes! Wise. Is anybody listening to me? Said in verse 6, then shall the lame man leap, and so on and so forth. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. In the wilderness shall waters break out. That's talking about your heart, friend.
Yes, amen.
And the parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each day shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be found there, and the redeemed shall walk there. Here's a verse I've been trying to get to. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away and be no more. Son, what an expectation. To know that there's coming a day, church, when God's going to wipe away. Somebody said, He ain't done it yet. Son, I can shout over it because of it. He's going to. Wipe away all tears from the eyes. Now, I've got to hurry. Overwhelming joy because of the Lord's example, because of our expectation. Number 3, because of an endless life. Can you not get happy over living?
Amen.
If you can't go by the cemetery this afternoon,
amen.
Talk to some of them folks laying out there.
Go ahead.
God, I thought one of the doves had done flown over and dropped a little handful on purpose.
Amen.
Listen what Peter's got to say. He said, whom having not seen you love. If you love Him this morning?
Amen.
In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice?
Amen.
Do you believe? I'm telling you, friend. Amen. Even though you've not seen Him, if you believe this morning, you can rejoice. With what, Brother Hall? Joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. And in the context of the setting, why can we do that? I'm going to read it for you. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
Talking about an endless life, friend.
Amen.
We got joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Because of an endless life. Because He lives, ye shall live also. Then why the gloomy mouth? I've got news for you. We can shout it out now. It looks like gore's about whoop.
Amen.
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 He's a humanist. Can't make it with that. If you think Ahab and Jezebel's bad in the White House, son, you ain't seen nobody till Alan Tipper gets up there, friend. I'm praying they won't. You can like that lump and hump it, bump it. Don't make no difference to me, friend. Because of an endless life. I want to say the second thing. I'm trying to hurry. Not only overwhelming joy, but overcoming peace. And here, I want some of you to dwell on this for a minute. I said overcoming peace. Love, joy, and peace
Did you know that peace will overcome some things in your life? Thank you, Brother Wayne. What Jesus said in John 14, 27. Would anybody like to venture what's getting ready to happen in John 14, 27? I know anything at all about the Bible. Jesus is getting ready to go to Calvary. In fact, at least from John 13 through John chapter number 19 or 20. I'd have to go back to 20, but I know it's from 13 at least to 19, maybe 20. Is 19 is all in the same night in that book. And it's in reference to our Lord going to Calvary.
Amen.
His disciples are concerned. They're saddened. Their heart is broken. And it's broken because Christ is getting ready to depart from their midst, my friend.
Yes.
And here's what He says. Get the first words that He speaks. Peace I leave with you. He said, I'm going somewhere for a little while. But that ought not to disturb your peace at all. I'm not taking your peace with me. I'm going to leave peace right here where it's at in your heart. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I want to say at least two things about that, and maybe three. But friend, did you know you can have peace even in adversity?
Amen.
He gave them peace. He left them with peace.
That's right.
And because He knew they were getting ready to face some adverse times. Amen. They were getting ready to watch their Lord be dragged from Gethsemane, my friend.
Amen.
Falsely accused, crucified, and buried in a tomb.
Amen.
You're talking about some adversity. Old Peter denying the Lord three times, sleeping in prayer. The night of the resurrection, they were all in an upper room for fear of the Jews, sitting all hunkered up, afraid to get out. You're talking about adversity.
Amen.
But Jesus said, even in the storm, buddy, you can have peace. Some of you don't know how. Some of you don't know how to allot enough grace in your life to let the storms come, let the winds blow, son, and yet have peace in your life. I told somebody the other day, every time some of our people, son, hit a little bump in the road, they go to pieces. Son, do you just let every little thing in life disturb you and rob you of the peace of God? I'm telling you that peace, my friend, peace can be a stability in your life or an anchor in your life during the storm.
Amen.
For that man whose mind is stayed upon the Lord shall have peace. Now, it doesn't say that man has stayed upon the Lord and he doesn't have any problems or trials or anything, any heartaches, any hurts in his life. He just said if you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord, regardless of the trials and temptations around you, you can have peace, friend. Oh, yes, sir. Peace in adversity. Hallelujah to God. I've learned a long time ago, friend, that the storms that blow my way come from the hand of God. Troubles and trials. Who in peace like a river attendeth my way, who in sorrows like sea billows roll. Oh, I'm glad that Christ hath regarded our helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. Thank God they can be peace in the midst of the storm. Now I'm going to tell you something. Old Peter learned a valuable lesson. Did you know that on Easter in Acts chapter number 12, here's old brother Peter that just went through all that adversity. He learned a real lesson. In Acts chapter number 12, Herod has done killed James, the brother of the Lord, and he comes after Peter, going to put him to death too. And he puts him in prison and puts guards all around him. And that night, before he was to be beheaded, an angel came into that prison and there laid Peter between the soldiers fast asleep.
Amen.
Angel said, get up, Peter.
Good.
Oh, are you distraught? Somebody said, you mean he could sleep the night before he was going to die? I'm telling you, he did.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why he could, because he believed the Word of God. Jesus told him in John 21, said, Peter, get this now. He said, when you was young, he said, you girded yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But he said, when you're old, another. And when you're what, Peter? when you're old, Peter, another will gird you and lead you whither you would not. Now, I'm sure when Peter got in prison that night, he said, now, wait a minute, I'm not old yet. Jesus said, when I'm old, somebody else, he said, I think I'll just lay down and take a nap. Peace in the midst of the storm, friend. And he had that peace because he relied, Brother Steve, on the Word of God. That's all he had was the Word of God.
Amen.
Some of you, the reason the storms and the bouts and the troubles and the trials upset your little apple cart is because, my friend, you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you listening? Peace in adversity. That's not all. Peace I leave with you. Uh-oh. That means he's going away. I got thinking on that, Brother Mark, and I thought, unto God, if that ain't where we're living today.
Amen.
Seems like he's took a little leave of absence.
Amen.
And we ain't right careful, we'll get all... I mean, where is God? It don't pass by no more.
Amen.
Old Brother So-and-so don't shout no more. That's old Brother So-and-so's fault, not mine.
Amen.
Whoa. Oh, Sister Sally is happy as what she used to be. That's Sister Sally's fault, not mine.
Amen.
Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. I'm going away a little while. But he said, I want you to have peace in my absence.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, friend, in the darkest hour in the church, that fountain sealed and that spring shut up, that is a water in our garden, can bring forth peace.
Amen.
Even in his absence, son, when he takes a little hike and stands afar off and gazes and looks on to try your faith and to prove your love and to see exactly what you're made out of.
Right.
Now, I'll be quite honest. It's starting to get to me a little bit. Thought, God, what in the world's going on? But I got some pretty good assurance that all's well in my Father's house. I'm going to tell you one thing about that garden being enclosed. Shut up! That well, that garden, shut up with that spring and that well. They're in there, buddy, and that well and that spring just keeps on pumping water.
Yeah,
woo! Woo! Woo!
Amen.
Don't matter about the clouds outside, son. Somebody said, preacher, they can get sunshine and water both from on the inside.
Amen.
Son, she may be cloudy on the outside, but I'm depending for water and sun on the inside.
Amen.
3 years ago, y'all have been shouting this building down.
Amen.
You would have. Peace in adversity. Peace in his absence. Peace as an anchor.
Amen.
Love, joy, and peace. Overwhelming joy. Overcoming peace. Overcoming adversities and the absence of Christ in our life. But that overpowering love.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you mean overpowering love, preacher? You remember a while ago when I talked about the manifestations of the flesh? If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why. Because that power of Christ, as Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It is that love, my friend. It is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And it is that love that
Amen.
overpowers the flesh.
Amen.
Blessed be His wonderful name. I'm going to... I'm going to show you what love will overpower. Are you listening to me now? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Because beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. And charity never faileth. I'm here to tell you that love, friend, is an overpowering virtue.
Amen.
That the Holy Ghost is watering in your garden today.
Amen.
That will overpower and overcome your flesh.
Amen.
To eventually bring forth fruit unto God.
charity suffereth long. Now, let's get here. Now, look here. Let's just listen very carefully. Those are the six graces: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Three of them deal with you on the inside: love, joy, peace. Three of them deal with your, that's what I'm looking for, with your relationship to man. The other three deals with your relationship to God.
Amen.
And I've got a real, hey, charity suffer long.
Amen.
I believe that's got to be talking about. Got to be talking about your fellow man, don't it? Now about a faith, hope, charity.
Amen.
For the fruit of the Spirit, if love, joy, peace. What's that next one? Who are we to suffer? Charity suffers long.
Amen.
Fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Oh, my friend. Now look here. Love, joy, peace rules and reigns in your heart. And my friend, until love, joy, and peace is ruling and reigning in your heart, you'll never have the right relationship to those that are without, lost and undone, without God and without hope. It's an impossibility. But those virtues and that love will overpower that flesh and give you an ability, friend, to suffer long. Hey, it envieth not. That love will not have a bit of jealousy about it.
Amen.
Not jealous about others, what others have, what others do. And I'm going to tell you what, it thinketh no evil.
Amen.
It overpowers envy. It overpowers evil. And to be pointed, evil thinking.
Amen.
When was the last time we all thought evil of somebody?
Amen.
Or envied someone else. You know, it'd be easy for Brother Wayne right now. He got laid off. It'd be easy for Brother Wayne to get a little jealous. I thought about some of you men that don't make as much money as others. Be kind of easy for some of you to get a little envious or a little evil thinking. But I'm going to tell you what, if you've got the right relationship to your brother and love your brother like you ought to, it'll never bother you.
Amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because just like him, you likewise are a garden enclosed.
Amen.
Amen.
A spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And God, the Holy Ghost, is putting just the right amount of water in your garden.
Amen.
To make your little plant grow, your little plant grow the way He wants it to.
Amen.
And you may not have as much fruit as somebody else. Fruit's fruit. We planted them little old tomato plants Stevie gave me outside the house, put them in that rotted up dirt. They didn't do much. I didn't really try to cultivate them a whole lot, put some little old green peppers out there. I think one little tomato got about that big on it. The last little tomato we got wasn't that big around. I went in one morning, Miss Hall was fixing breakfast, had some biscuits and gravy, and I noticed that little old tomato. I said, "You're fixing the last little old tomato." I said, "The fruit, the last of the garden." She said, "That's it." And you know something? That little bitty mater was just as good as that great big mater.
Amen.
They both tasted like a mater to me.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen.
Fruit's fruit, friend.
That's right.
Don't tell me what I'm saying?
Amen.
God knows how to water your little garden to make it grow for His glory. Let's stand together. And by the way, He showed me something last night about that garden. Oh, I can't wait to get to the last verse in this chapter.
Amen.
Put you on that garden. I might preach one of these days on Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow?
Amen.
Is your garden growing this morning? Is the Holy Spirit at work in your life? He is if you're saved. He is if you're saved. Father, I thank You for the morning hour, the privilege of preaching again to Your people. Thank You, Lord, for the warm hearts and receptive spirit. Thank You for Your presence and the liberty and privilege of preaching today. Not to try to prove anything, showmanship or entertainment, Lord, but just preaching the Word of God to the best of my ability. For after all, Lord, it's not Paul nor Apollos, but it's God
that giveth the increase. Now save old sinners today. Glorify Jesus in our midst. Water your little garden at Island Ford Baptist. Help us, I pray, as a church to bring forth fruit that will bring honor to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.